Josiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Josiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Josiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 24th, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of that shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And remember, folks, about prayer requests, we have a new way of also doing them that if you mail a letter in to our postal address that you can find at our prophecyhour.com, then if you mail that prayer request, we'll take it to the mission church. We're in prayer circle. We'll anoint it with oil, and we will pray over it, and then we will send a letter back to you at no charge. That is what you need to do. So pray about that. You can also send us one by email, and if you include your address, I'll print it out, take it and to church, to the mission church, and we'll anoint it with oil and pray on it. If you want it back, remember to include your address, and that's at no charge to you. Remember, we're trying to be here for you. That's why we're here, to warn you, because our heart is heavy of the things that's coming on the earth. If you don't believe the world is in turmoil, then look around you. You have Christians being locked up for standing up for their faith. You have Christians all-out slaughter across the Middle East. The whole demographics of the Middle East is changing. The world is in great, not small turmoil, but great turmoil. And if you can't see that, if you're just seeing the little bit that's in front of your face and in front of your eyes and your world isn't in turmoil, give it time. The United States will be getting judged. It is on the Father's list. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And let's remember that we are a national satellite radio program, and we're also simulcast live on the Internet. And so that makes us an international radio program. And, of course, you can always get the archives. But pray about supporting airtime, because airtime costs, and also a lot of people will listen at the branch.podomatic.com site. That site costs almost $1,000 a year, and so that costs money too. So if you're there's that word enjoy. See, I almost choked up on it. Enjoy, really? If you are getting something from these programs, being blessed by them, then I pray that you will support it by donating for the radio airtime. Because, as this ministry, we're a mission church, we don't sell anything. And so pray about supporting airtime. We do really, truly need your help. Radio program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are really smartphone friendly, and so pray about it. Go over there and listen to the archives, and I challenge you to share these programs with at least two or three other people. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I just pray that tonight you give the right message out. because I don't know anything about radio and I don't know anything about your messages. It's only your word that comes true that means anything, Father. So I just ask that you bless us tonight with your spirit so that what comes out by you and not by us and or by me. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, my mood is really sullen tonight, and I'm going to start this program off like I do many times when I just do the radio program by myself with this song, and we'll talk about it when we come back, but let's have this song right now.
I've got a story to tell you, a message to deliver in song. If you'll give an ear to these words I sing, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls and they don't know. They're walking in darkness. They cannot see the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls, they don't know. Every single day we have is one more chance to snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls. And now you've heard this message that was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard's ripe, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls.
Well, folks, so much is going on in the world. While the world waited on an economic collapse and other things, the other things happened right under our nose, such as the whole Middle East on the end day of the Shemitah year. Country after country started putting up barriers and fences to stop the migration, migration as they call it, in the EU of refugees. These people are running from ISIS, who said that even some of these people that are running these refugees, a portion of those were terrorists. So anyway, so across the EU, the European Union was built to have open borders, but now that's passing. And the EU has never even had the European Union. It's kind of hard, EU. It sounds like PU, you know what I mean? Anyway, the European Union never really had an army, but now it's raising one because of this. Let me read you this little excerpt from the Examiner. Migrant crisis in Euro tensions threaten to trigger catastrophic conflict. This is a claim made by experts. Rising tensions between Central and Eastern European countries over the escalating migrant crisis could be the spark for a catastrophic world war, experts warned on September 23rd. Both the Hungarian and Italian prime ministers have spoken of huge dangers of unchecked floods of immigrants from Africa and the Middle East, which have set previously peaceable EU nations against each other. This scenario, especially the one currently played out in Serbia and Hungary, is hauntingly similar to the one that triggered the First World War. The problem has been manifesting itself in Central Europe, where Hungary is besieged by growing numbers of refugees passing through Serbia and Croatia, forcing its government to build fences to stem the influx. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban warned European life and its established laws were under threat from huge numbers of people heading through the continent from war-torn states in the Middle East. In a defense against criticism of the aggressive stance against refugees taken by the country, he said yesterday, "Our borders are in danger. Our way of life where we respect laws in danger. The whole of Hungary and Europe is in danger. The migrants are blitzing us." Now, it's kind of funny. I'm not laughing at their plight, but some of these same people have blasted the United States for when we start talking about making sure that we build a fence or we have a border, but all these countries are doing so right now. Because it's well-known fact, if a country does not have a border, then it isn't a country. Then you're open for invasion. And I believe America is being invaded right now. I believe that's part of the judgment on America. Hungary and Serbia have consistently been at each other's throats over the issue with Budapest and its non-EU neighbors to do more to help tackle the growing neighbors' migrants. In fact, today in Congress, one of the things that I know the Pope said is he railed on the Congress to do more about these immigrants. As they call them, to me it's just illegals. When you cross from one border to the next and you are not there by invitation or by passport or by visa, so to speak, you are an illegal. You're not an immigrant, you're an illegal. You got that? That's illegal. Anyway, but yet the Pope railed on us for all that, but yet the Vatican is completely surrounded by a wall. And it's the hardest place in the world to get into. It's like a fortress. And so, going on with this, they are now sending troops armed with rubber bullets and tear gas to the border with Serbia to protect the country's frontier. A Hungarian political journalist said the situation was growing tensions between nations was reminiscent of the international scenario from just over 100 years ago. He said, this is how the eve of the First World would have looked like. Complete hesitancy and termination of the usual channels of diplomacy, the lack of solidarity, pressure to take a step in the countries issuing threats to each other, are all reminding us that it definitely doesn't look like a cooperating Europe. No, it looks like Europe is being fragmented. And even so, even if it doesn't lead to a major war, if the countries are being fragmented, that's a breakdown of the European Union, and you know what that's going to do to the economy. Worldwide, that will blast the economy if they split up, and that's what seems to be going on. Right, Mr. Orban is right in stating that it would only be worth to talk about quotas if we can control the registration of the migrants coming to Europe. And so far, no country has any idea how to do that. Now, looking from that, what else do we see in the Middle East? The current situation in Syria, America they have been bombing President Bashar al-Assad's regime. But right now, though, Vladimir Putin is defending him by attacking ISIS. And his warnings are all too clear. He said, we are on the march to war, repeating itself. It's a repeat of the 1930s, the crash of the 1929, the Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, world wars. This is from Putin. We've got the panic of 08, the Great Recession, currency wars, trade wars, and we're seeing all the refugee wars sweeping across the shores of Europe. He said another big terror attack on society will see an emotional outpouring across the Western world, and then it will transform into a catastrophic thirst for revenge. Excuse me, that was a Mr. McClinty that said that. They are leading us to the next great war, and it's always going to take is a terror attack, and people will be tying yellow ribbons around everything that doesn't move, waving American flags, and we're off to what Einstein called the whole war scenario. Well, what about Russia? Let's go back to that. Well, you know, pointed out into me at last hour that they said, well, Russia's always been, you know, in Syria. Well, that's no doubt, but they've never built open, they just built two air bases and are flying in huge amounts of armor and troops. And they warned the United States that they needed to communicate with them about what they're doing in the area, or there could be huge problems. Technically, you know, if the United States is bombing Assad's people, you know, the Russians are there too. Are we bombing the Russians? You see how close that could get to war? And you know what? Russia keeps saying, America, talk to us. America, talk to us. And Obama is just snubbing him and is totally ignoring him. So you see, Syria and Russia are one, so to speak. Syria is also backed by, let's see, oh yeah, the Persians, yeah, the Iranians. And if you look in Ezekiel 38, they were part of the nations that will make war against Israel. And so all of these things that we see in the Middle East are a lineup for the time of the end and what's going to happen. I'm not saying that something's going to happen today, tomorrow, this year, but if you look at the situation there, you can see that all the end time players are indeed lining up. Anyway, and now we're hearing also that that there's an empanada being threatened to be started on Sukkot. Yeah, Arab Israeli leaders and joint MKs join Abbas in the threat of a looming empanada over Israel's attacks on the Temple Mount. Now that's from their point of view. What it is the Arabs have been going to the Temple Mount and they've been rioting. And so they don't control them, so to speak. So the Israelis send in people to stop the riots, to stop the stone throwing, to stop all the problems, so the Temple Mount isn't destroyed. So they turn around and say that it's the Israelis that are doing it. I've watched the news clips and I've seen the things. It's not being started by the Israeli police. It's being started by, in fact, about a month ago, there was in fact guns being smuggled to the Temple Mount. Not by any people that wanted to blow up the Temple Mount, but it was being done by Palestinians, you know, and other Arabs, because they want to start a war. And what better place to do it than there? So what do you think the Pope's going to say tomorrow? You know, is he going to say that we need to have a Palestinian state and divide Israel? Is that what's going to happen tomorrow? On top of that, we have Vladimir Putin is going to be there. Why did he come clear across the world at this time? Why is he there to speak? And then we also have the leader of China is also going to be at the UN this month. I don't know if he's going to be there tomorrow, but I do know that he's going to be there tomorrow, and the rumor has it that he is going to ask the world to drop the United States currency as, you know, the reserve dollar. That's what keeps the dollar alive, is because we are the reserve currency. Everybody else measures their money by how much it costs. Or how much it's worth in U.S. dollars. So if you go to something like Forex or whatever, it'll give you a breakdown. It'll say so many of these dollars to U.S. dollars. So they use the U.S. dollar as a yardstick to tell you how much your money is worth. Whether it's worth more than U.S. dollar or less, but that's how it's done. So, but China wants to replace the U.S. dollar. Well, why would they want to replace the U.S. dollar? Well, there's lots of reason, control, but then again, it's also if America is not on the scene, they have to have another currency. Otherwise, if America was taken out or actually crashed, then it would crash the whole system. And so that's something to think about. You know, that's going on right now. And see, that's where my heart is. You know, there's so much going on in the world. We look across America, and I pray that the Father lifts the veil from your eyes. But if you can't see that all that sin out there isn't good, turn on your TV set. You know, there's broad nudity, and practically every show has to have gay and lesbian people on it. And they want you to believe that this is normal. This is not normal. It's normal for the time, but when you take, how did it get that way? It got that way because the church shut its mouth. Back in the 60s, after they become 501(c)(3)s and they agreed to be non-political, the church started, it became a business. They started taking away their voice, you know, and saying, oh, well, you know, we don't need to talk against these things. And rarely they talk against them in church. If you know some churches that are good, that talk against sin and homosexuality and all these things, let me know. I'll even mention them on here as a good place to go for people. Send me an email with them. But the point is for the most part, the pastors aren't speaking forward. You know, if you follow this radio program much, you know that I usually ask most of my guests, what do you think it could take to change America? Where does the guilt lie in where we have found ourselves? And you know what they point to? They point to the pulpit. Because the pastors aren't speaking forward, and they need to speak forward. If you're listening to me, talk to your flock. They will listen to you. You're their shepherd. They will listen to you. Tell them to speak out. How long are you going to be silent until massive amount of Christians are locked up in the United States for simply standing against homosexuality? They should have been doing the same. We should have been standing up for the abortions. All of these things are going to bring judgment on this nation. And I believe that judgment has already started here. That's probably why the Shemitah didn't wipe out the stock market as Jonathan Konstark said. It looks like that it's going to step into judgment, and I agree with that. So you need to pray about it, folks. Pray about it. Pray about the time that you're in. Are you weeping and crying for that which is to come? That's the point. That's what the Word says. That's where your protection lies, is that He would mark those. The Father would have an angel mark those in the forehead that were weeping and crying for what is to come. Talks about that in Revelation too. Anyway, we're going to have to go. We're going to go to a break. But before I go, make sure you visit prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. It's got a radio program archives. It tells you how to donate, so on and so forth. It's like a hub to all our other ministries, like the Mission Church and what we do. And so go over there and check us out, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, meds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Behold, He comes, lighting on the fire, shining like the sun.
far back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Sinai's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Why do so many people come to the Father's Little Mission Church? Well, they come because of love. That's really the first answer. They're treated as family. They're given a relationship instead of a piece of paper that says, fill this out and we'll see if we can help you. Second, like I say, you know, they're treated as family. Beyond that, you know, we don't really have anything like set guidelines. Sure, we tell people how they have to behave, but, you know, if the need be. But most people come in there and, you know, they like the peace. They like being treated as human beings instead of like a client, so to speak. And so they like the atmosphere. And so even the worst enemies can walk in there and not cause a fight with each other, which is a rarity. Not saying that once in a while we don't hear an argument, but we've been doing it for 16 years, and they respect what we're giving to them because they know that we give it to them from our heart. And that's what everything's about, is giving from your heart and being from your heart. You know, it's just like my heart being heavy right now. You know, I feel the air out there is so thick you can cut it with a knife, in the sense that something's coming. I don't know what it is exactly. I can't put my finger on it, but I know something's coming. I feel it. I deeply feel it, but I don't know. I don't know. But here's the point. You know, we are supposed to help the poor. You know, it talks about it. A lot of you folks that listen to our program, we are Torah observant. You know what it says? It talks about it in Deuteronomy, and I'll paraphrase, but it talks about if you see your brother fall, you lift him up quickly so he is not harmed. Restore him to the place that he is at so he's not harmed by the financial problem that he has. That's we're called to take care of one. Each other. And there's my wonderful train, you know, just to not to take it too far off path, but you know what my producer says about that train? He says, oh, is Johnny Cash coming, you know? And he makes a joke out of it. Maybe it's a funny joke, maybe it isn't, but I can do nothing about the train. And personally, I think it's a government plot, yuck, yuck. Because, you know, they gave the train people, when they had that train crash, they talked about all the money they gave them for new brakes, you know, for the train so they could stop. Well, you know what? It was less than a month later that this train here started having a louder horn. I think they took the government money and bought horns instead of brakes. That's my thought on the whole deal. But anyway, the train is now just rumbling by, but they're not going to blow the horn no more, but... Anyway, I was saying we don't have any set guidelines or, you know, like programs like most people. People walk in the door and ask for what they need. And if we have the way to fill a need and we believe that it's a righteous need, then we fill it. You know, if that means digging in my pocket and taking the last of the cash that I have and going and buying a pair of shoes, then I do that. You know, prayerfully, it's not the last of my cash. But no cash belongs to me. Everything belongs to the Father. Even your money in your pocket, it all belongs to God, the Father, you know, Yahweh. Anyway, so we try to help him the best way that we can. And this is what we've been doing for 16 years. And I was saying earlier that people think that, well, because we're a ministry, you know, and we're on the radio, so that's a big deal. So we must be getting millions of dollars in donations. It doesn't work that way. You know, we're just probably less than 1%, I doubt even 1% of the people that listen to our programs donate. So, you know, there it is. People, it's just not what they do. But, so pray about it. Pray about it. We really do need your help. Anyway, this is why, you know, agencies, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. You know, I've got it up here on my board, agencies. It is a pretty fascinating fact that, you know, the agencies around Wichita, you know, if you ask them where Messiah's branch is at or who's Messiah's branch, you know, they scratch their head a lot. I don't know why they never call under that name, but they say, well, okay, you know who Pastor Dan is? Oh, yeah, we know him. And they're doing a great job over there at Pastor Dan's. Well, it's not Pastor Dan's. It's Messiah's branch, and it belongs to the Father. But anyway, he says, they all brag and say, what great job we're doing. In fact, they refer people to us, you know, people that they send families to us looking for places to live and all kinds of things. You wouldn't believe it. And we don't have money for all those people. People that have millions of dollars in their budgets and can help people, send people to a place that really has no budget. So what is the key there? People know that we don't have money. What are they looking for? What are they looking for? They're looking for a miracle is what they're looking for. They send people there, and if we don't have the money to help them out, then, you know, we ask them, do you want a prayer? And we pray with them. And you know what? Most of the time, from what I've seen, you know, sometimes the prayers are answered instantly, but generally, most all of them are answered, and in a positive manner. You know, just because we pray for something doesn't mean the Father's going to answer us the way that we want. He will answer your prayer. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get what you want. You know, you might pray for, transportation, thinking that God the Father is going to give you a car, and He might hand you a bicycle, you know, or the other way around. You want a bicycle, and He gives you a motorcycle. Or you pray for money for something to paint your house, and somebody shows up, say, we want to donate the paint so you can paint your house. So, you know, the Father doesn't always answer us in the way that we think He should, but he does it in the way that He thinks He should, what's best for us. Father notices all donations that come from your heart, folks. He really does. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And folks, if you want to be right in this time that's coming, you've got to be standing on holy ground. And here's a song that just says so. Holy ground.
Fire on the mountain, Moses went to see. The bush was burning with the flame. By the power of God's glory, we're standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, take his sandals off, cause he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, and he was standing on holy ground. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing on holy ground. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three. Must have had their sandals off, and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down, but they were standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield, but I in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, cause he was standing on holy ground. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing on holy ground. Are you standing on holy ground?
You know, to be right, you've got to be on holy ground. To be on holy ground, you've got to be in your word. And one of the reasons my heart is so heavy is there's so many people figuring, well, you know, I'm just going to fly out of here. You know, I'll fly out of here at the first visit. I'll fly out of here when Yeshua returns. He'll come and get us as a thief in the night. He'll resurrect the dead. And so that would be the first resurrection. And let me read, I'm going to read something to you from the Bible that tells you when the first resurrection is. And I'm going to pick it up at Revelation 19. At Revelation 19, what has just happened, Yeshua that has been, it has to be Yeshua, all judgment was given over to him, has just judged the whore of Babylon and destroyed her. And so now we're going into Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice, and most of the people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our Yahweh. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped Yahweh, that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our Yahweh, all of ye servants, ye that fear him, both great, small, and great. And I heard the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord Yahweh, omnipotent, reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and this is at the last trump of Yahweh. But let me go on. His wife, that's you, has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he hath said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of Yahweh. And I fell at feet to worship him. And he said, I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that gave testimony of Yeshua. Worship Yahweh, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were crowns, for he was crowned with many crowns. And he had a name written, so no man knew it but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name was called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he that treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty Yahweh. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves unto the supper of the great Yahweh, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit upon them, and the flesh of all men, free and bond, small and great. Now, if you can find this same reference, go back to the prophets, you can find the same reference in Ezekiel 39:18-20. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against the army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and with him that deceived them that have received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, and the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw in Revelation 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years would be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua. There's witnesses being beheaded right now for the witness of Yeshua all over the Middle East. All over the Middle East, Christians are, that's happening. Amen. Anyway, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Yahweh, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they that lived and reigned with Yeshua Messiah 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So folks, where do you see in their secret rapture? This is the first resurrection. If Yeshua had came and got somebody in a secret rapture, then this would be the second resurrection. But that's not so. And when is this timetable? It talks about Babylon was just restored, the marriage, and Yeshua comes. There is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he returns with the saints to judge the nations. And that is the first resurrection. So what is the second resurrection? Let's go on. And when 1,000, blessed is holy that have part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of Yahweh and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand in the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints and that about, and the beloved city, and fire came out of Yahweh from heaven and devoured them. Well, the camp is Jerusalem. That's where the camp and the holy city is Jerusalem. And we're talking about Jerusalem, Israel, not Jerusalem, America, not Jerusalem, any place else in the world, but Jerusalem, Israel. Okay. And he went up on the breath, And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whom space the earth and the heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh, and all the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. If you took part in the first resurrection, you are alive. You're not dead. These are the dead that hasn't been raised at Yahweh's coming. So, we'll go on. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? How do you know? You do that by repentance, having a personal relationship with Yeshua, and turning away from sin. If you're still in sin, the word says, then there remains, if you continue on in sin, there remains no sacrifice for your sin, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the sacrifice for your sin. And so this is why my heart is burdened, is because there's so many people that are just going on like Yeshua said is in the days of Noah, when everybody was eating and drinking until the waters came and took them away. You know, they were still eating and drinking and taking in marriage. That's what's going on out there. The world is just going, especially Americans, we're just rolling right along, and the world's just going on and on and on. And you know, the preachers are saying, you're going to fly out of here. You're going to fly out of here. But I just showed you the first and second resurrection. The first and second resurrection. Where do you see your secret rapture in that? There is no secret rapture. When Yeshua comes, every eye will see him. The nations will mourn. You will see thunderings and lightnings and the clouds. Things will split open. You will see him coming. You will know it when it happens. There's no secret rapture. That's not going to happen. There's nothing that's going to fly you out of here before. And when does this happen? Some people say, well, this happens before the wrath of Yahweh. Well, what I just read you is at the end of things. That's where he does it. What he does say is people that are weeping and crying for those things that are come. It talks about it in the book of Ezekiel. Those people that are weeping and crying for those things that are about to come upon the earth. The angel goes out from the altar and seals all of Yahweh's people in the forehead so that they are not harmed. And that is about midpoint of the tribulation. But you've got to get past that midpoint. You've got to survive, but how do you survive? By having a personal relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach. Your mind cannot be on the riches of this world. Your mind can only be in what's pleasing to Him. He isn't pleased with the stuff here on earth, but He is pleased when you help your brother or you go visit him in prison and He helps you. He's pleased with you when you bless Israel. Believe it or not, I know some of you are Israel, blah, 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 but He means it. He said not to speak high-minded against Israel. If you read Romans 11, which I don't have time to read to you tonight, in Romans 11, it tells us not to be high-minded because against those that were broken off. For just a few, some were broken off because of disbelief. Some were broken off out of Israel, so that you might be grafted in. So you were grafted in with them. There wasn't a new church started at Pentecost. Pentecost is an old holiday that's been going on for thousands of years. At Pentecost, in fact, Gentiles weren't even grafted in. It didn't come till later when Paul and Barnabas and Cornelius, they started ministering to the Gentile people. But that was a while. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews, Israelites that became as Jews. They were grafted in, you know, they were grafted back in. And that's where you see the big, you know, influx of people in the book of Acts. It talks about the thousands being done. Well, those thousands aren't Gentiles. That doesn't come till later. And so these people started church. You know, if you look up the word Christian, the original thing of it says Messianic. You know, well, what's Messianic? Messianic means, you know, Messiah-like. Are you Messiah-like? Well, what does Messiah do? Let's see, the Messiah kept the Sabbath. He was born a Jew. He lived as a Jew. He died as a Jew. His mother was Jewish. When he returns, he died as king of the Jews, and when he returns, how's he going to return? Does that matter to you? He's going to return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So through him, that you were by his blood, you were able to be grafted in to something that was already existing and still exists today, and that is the Israelite people. And you know, even Paul said, you know, he pointed to himself and he said, we all must become inwardly Jews in order to be saved. That's what he was pointing at. Do you know that, you know, people talk about the word synagogue, you know, in the Bible? Well, the word synagogue and the word church, if you look it up, it's the same word. It's ecclesia. And that means a called out group of believers. In fact, the word church didn't come into play until around 300 A.D. All of the places that they went, they called them synagogues. That's what they called them. They weren't called churches. And there wasn't something called the church in that instance. That that's a Gentile thing that came about around 300 A.D. And I'm not telling you you've got to run out and be a Jew and start wearing Jewish clothing and all that sort of thing. This is what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is that you need to get a personal relationship with Him. You know, you don't have to become, you know, for that matter, an ancient Israelite. Some of these people go around in costumes. You don't have to dress in a costume. Dress the way you are is fine, as long as it's not provocative. But I would suggest wearing tzitzis, you know. That's the fringes on your garment. I would definitely say wear those, because that's being Torah observant. And they're like a little string wrapped around our finger that tells us that reminds us that, you know, to do something or not do something. But the tzitzis is to remind us to keep the commandments of Yahweh. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to keep His commandments. Folks, back to the mission church. I pray about, oh, wait a minute. And this what we just read, when Yeshua returns and reigns for 1,000 years, that is definitely the season of our joy. And that is the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's what, you know, when we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, we're celebrating not only his birthday, because he was came and dwelt among us. He was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, Yeshua was. And we're also celebrating that 1,000-year reign of him on earth. And so if you have never attended a feast, I strongly suggest that you ask around or Google one and go attend one and see what it's like. I'm praying that we have enough funds to go someplace, but even if we do not have enough funds to go anywhere this year, which it's usually only vacation, and boy, we really need it, especially after my wife having that brain aneurysm. But even if we don't get to go someplace, we're going to take a rest. And so I'll either have a pre-recorded program next week, or Steve Henderson will be filling in for me as a host, because, you know, I really don't like to... I don't like canned programs, so to speak, and so I'm probably going to have Steve Henderson and maybe somebody else fill in for the two programs next week. When we come back, on the 8th, Marzulli will be here to talk about some updates in the Nephilim world, so to speak, and then that's on Prophecy Hour, and then Kenneth Uptegrove will join us to talk about some things on the first program, Mission Watch. But pray about the Mission Church. We really need your help. But you must remember, really, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. That is his sign. That was the only sign given to a wicked and adulterous generation, was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Not what you see, not died on Friday, rose on Sunday morning. In fact, he rose just before dark on the Sabbath. Anyway, I got to get out of here. Pray about supporting the Mission Church. Always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.